Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
The king turns around, the president turns around. Mr. Trump, I think you're doing a great job. And I truly believe you're a changed man this time around. I truly believe God has his hand on you. And I truly believe you are the special shepherd talked about in this book for America at the end times to do a special mission for God to protect the land of Israel in an upcoming battle. And after that, God says, just like we were talking, the judgment of your before actions must take place. This book says, after we have protected the nation of Israel in an upcoming end days battle, then the judgment will be on America for all her past sins. You pay for your sins in this life, in this flesh. There's no escaping it. Well, Jesus died for our sins. He died for your spiritual sins, okay? Your spirit man that lives in the heart will stand before God and be judged one day. And if you have accepted Christ, the original first covenant, he will apply that handicap to your failing score, because we are all have a failing score. 100% is the only thing that gets you into heaven. Did you realize that? And Christ was the only one. I'm talking about God's kingdom and heaven. Christ is the only one to have a 100% score. Mm-hmm. So how are we going to get in? Because he's going to apply a handicap. You didn't score high enough. Well, I got a 92. That's an A. Yes, but the law requires 100%, you know. Christ will apply that other 8 points through his sacrifice, because none of us can achieve holiness and perfection. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord thus saith, wailing shall be in all the streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful in lamentation to wailing. Interesting. When all these tumults start, when all this bad stuff starts, they're going to cut all the great people are going to join together and try to prevent it. There is even going to be professional wailers. Mm-hmm. Have you seen those? They can seen those televangelists can turn them tears on.
Cry on cue.
Yes, sir. Oh, Lord, please help us. We are your children.
Who? Pinching her own thigh, you know.
Gabriel, who's that guy saying he's our children? there's no record of that one, Lord. I think he's a loan shark.
He's over in that dark spot, you know, where you pour the ink out. It's over in there.
And in all thy vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desireth the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Understand, he's talking about the end times judgment, the day of the Lord, in the great tribulation portion when God pours out judgment on this land. Woe unto you that desireth the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Interesting.
My idea on that is for the ones that are I can't wait to see when this happens.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because at that point, like on the inside, you're kind of taking you're wanting to see the vengeance unfold.
Yep.
And then it's almost like you're taking the reins and stepping in the way of.
Yep. Or is it a man? Or is it a man who doesn't know God desiring to die? Either way.
Yeah.
Probably both ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because if you do not know the Lord, you do not want to see the day of the Lord.
No. No.
And Christians, we will be here right up to that moment. This rapture, what do you call it? This rapture theory that...
Yeah, pre-tribulation rapture.
Yes, this thing that pastors have been preaching, it's not happening. The Bible's very clear on it. The Bible even says, in fact, because of this preaching of this magical rapture that takes you away before any of this stuff starts, there'll be a great falling away of faith. because Pastor John told us we'd be out of here before we were persecuted. Mm-hmm. 2 Thessalonians, read it yourself. Pertaining to the day of our joining together to Jesus Christ, that day will not come till the man of sin sets himself in the temple of God and declares himself God. Daniel calls that the abomination of desolation. It's in here a dozen places. And the timeline for it is right at the just past the center line of the tribulation period. And Paul says, stop worrying about this rapture thing. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen until this end times event happens, when the Antichrist goes into the temple, the third temple of God, which Daniel says is built in the first portion of the tribulation period. And what do we see in Revelation? Millions and millions of uncountable millions. John seen under the throne in white robes. And he says, who are these and why are they here? These are saints that come out of tribulation. They're waiting for their number to be complete before God will have judgment on their captors. It's not going to happen. And these pastors have facilitated this great falling away. From the pulpit, supposedly God's pulpit, they have facilitated the fact that there'll be a great falling away of faith because these people were told a lie.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, some are aware, some are unaware that propagated this lie.
Yes.
That's the best way you can say it, too, is it's outright a lie.
They grab a hold of one little fragment of a verse, and they just go with it. Oh, there's 62 other verses here that say something different. Yeah, but that one right there says we'll be caught up in a glimpse of an eye. Yeah, when the trumpet sounds. Okay. Right. It's very clear when this rapture will take place. It is right after the midway period of the tribulation period. There'll be a quarter of the world's people dead at that time. Religion will be outlawed, and even Amos is going to say here in a few minutes, the word of God will be vanished from this world. Mm-hmm. Don't be caught up in it, Christian. You're going to see persecution. You're going to see tribulation. And then God says, I will take you out before great tribulation, which is the second half. Bible says very clear, you will go through tribulation, but I will not allow you to go through great tribulation, because during the second half of the tribulation, God pours out his wrath upon the earth. And what did Amos just say? There were bad people all around you, and even though you weren't the best, the people, I kept you from that evil. That's what happens during the first tribulation. Lots of bad stuff happening all around you, and some of us being persecuted and dying. But when it comes to the full wrath of God, he will pull us out. Unfortunately, the weak-spirited ones will have fallen away during that time. What that means is their hearts never truly followed after God. They were more into religion. Religion will never save you in any way, shape, or form.
Yes, sir. And you're actually about to come up on something that strengthens that when you get down to verse 21, even though we're at 20 right now, right? Or, I'm sorry, we're at 19 right now.
Yeah. Yes. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear meet him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and his serpent bit him. Oh, there'll be nowhere to hide in the day of the Lord. It's like those couple episodes ago, Israel whomped up on that army, mm-hmm. and then a few thousand of them escaped and rested in the shade of a wall, and the wall fell on them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To God, they're pushing it over with his finger.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to escape the lion and the bear. You go into your house and lean on the wall and say, whew, man, we got away. There's a serpent right there, bites you on the hand.
Yeah. No brass rod from Moses.
Yes, I was getting ready to say the same thing. No brass rod there to stare at.
Yeah.
Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Because God has just taken the remnant of his children out. There will nothing good happen after that point. Mm-hmm. I despise your feast days.
Religion.
Yes, exactly. And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies the fat that is burned to the good savor of God. I don't even want to smell that. I don't want your religion. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts, because the law is broken. It didn't really do its job to teach you that the simplicity of the first covenant, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children, converted to Christ's covenant, follow me with all your heart and be baptized, was not enough for you. So this religion that you have, the law, I will have no more part of it. I tell you what, Christian, if you confess to following Jesus Christ and you want to hold on to the law, you're telling Christ what he done just wasn't good enough. I know, that was a horrible sacrifice. I mean, you were beaten to a pulp and you died in horrible agony and you felt every sin that I ever committed placed on you. Just wasn't good enough, Jesus. If you could only mix some of the law in with it, I'm going to hold on to this. I gotta just sit in front of TV on Sunday and watch that televangelist from Ohio send in my faith offering. Have the wife do all the cooking on Saturday. Well, Saturday's the Sabbath. Religious fool. You're already breaking the law that you want to hold on to. Don't be guilty of telling Christ what he done wasn't enough for you. Grab a hold of him and his covenant, the original first covenant. Grab a hold of it and cling to nothing else, especially religion. You cannot make yourself holy. There's 1,000 pages in this book in the Old Testament that prove to you you cannot keep yourself holy with your hands or through sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. God says that over and over. I never wanted the sacrifices. Poor little lambs. You made it necessary because you wouldn't follow me with your heart. Tens of millions of these innocent creatures died because the men refused to follow me with their own hearts. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. The whole time you were making sacrifices to me in your hearts and even in your tents. You were worshiping other gods. And that is so easy to do, Christian. You know, what occupies the majority of your time during the day? Is it your job? You could be a slave to your job. Your job could be your God. Are you striving for that position where you'll make six figures and nothing else matters? That's become a God to you. Are you so addicted to the television that you can't leave it? Your children want your time and your wife wants your time. You don't get it. They don't get it. Be your God. You have a fancy car that you struggle to pay for. And when you park it at the grocery store, you park it way out there where nobody will dare bump it. And you look back at it six times on your way to the store.
Did I set the alarm?
Yeah. You look back. Oh, man. And before you got out, you turn the wheels just a little bit. I'm guilty of this years ago. I'm speaking from my own truth. Turn the wheels a little bit so the glint in the sun, and you take a glance back at it about six times before you go in. Keep doing that because God's going to have a bread truck run into it way out there. Prove to you how flimsy your God is. Follow God with all your heart. He'll give you a car that is suitable for your heart. Follow him with all your heart. You might get a really nice one. Follow him with just a little bit of your heart. You might have to work on it every weekend. He says, I know your needs and I will supply them if you follow me with all your heart. And I know the desires of your soul. And if you really follow me with all your hearts, I will even provide those. David and Solomon. But you got to watch out for excess. Excess will destroy the blessings of God, as in the life of Solomon and David himself. But in David's situation, even though he went through that excess period, we got into Bathsheba and had Uriah, her husband, killed and told lies, tried to cover it all up. God made a statement thereafter. His heart was perfect. because the entire time David was in agony of what he was going through, how he had let his flesh take control and was guiding his life. There is the telltale, Christian. When you're in a bad situation, is that little spirit man inside you still crying out saying, don't do this. You know it's wrong. And as soon as you get done doing it, you repent. Been there, done that many times. That is the sign that your heart is still following after God. And it does not give you a license to sin, because you will suffer in this flesh for what you have just done. David, Solomon, all of them. You will pay for your sins in this flesh. This flesh will go to the grave with scars, many deep, many shallow, depending on the severity of the sin. Chapter 6, Book of Amos. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye into Calne, and see from thence go ye to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flocks, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music. What is that viol, Jonathan? Do you know?
I believe it's a violin. I believe that that's a short term or an archaic word for it.
Like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Woe to the rich man who sits aside in his ivory palace and does nothing to help the poor. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretcheth themselves shall be removed. Your wealth will not help you in the end. If you're not charitable in this life with the little that you have, with the moderate amount that you have, or with the great amount that you have, nothing will help you. That is right there. One of God's greatest commandments, charity. Love thy neighbor with all thy heart. That means give to your neighbor whatever he needs. Oh, I thought that just meant love him. I always say, bless you, John. You know, well, you said, bless you, John, while John was sitting in the gutter with his hand up in the air asking you for a dollar. That didn't go very far.
Violin.
Violin.
Yes, sir.
The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saying, the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. You know, God enjoyed seeing his people flourish at one time. Mm-hmm. But when they turn their back on him, their shiny palaces become an adoration to him. He hates them. I abhor it.
He'd even loved the Tower of Babel before it became corrupted.
Interesting, right? Yeah. Just watching them build it.
People work together. He was enjoying that until it became the, hey, yeah, I'll take the throne.
And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him, that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. Wow. God is taking a hands-off approach at a certain time. And at that time, he will wait for the Christ to come and fix this place. He's been interactive with the Israelites from the day that he spoke to Abraham to 700-800 years after he brought them out of Egypt. And he says that there's going to be a time, going to be a moment. I'm going to take a hands-off approach. And we're living in that time now. You know, God's predetermined sequences of events are still taking place, like the nation of Israel that came out of the book of Ezekiel, where the bones come together, and the sinews come back on the bones, and the flesh come. That happened in 1947. The nation was revived. But his keeping his tight fingers and hands on his people, no. I'm going to step back. I'm going to let all these things that I've put in motion take place, and then my son's going to come fix the place. For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rocks? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall. Ah, no one even wants a righteous judgment. America, look at what's coming from our courtrooms nowadays. Mm-hmm. Murder someone. Ah, no bail, you know. Just let him go. Here's a order to reappear here in 3 weeks. Yeah.
And then a GoFundMe. Well, you know, not the court from the court's view, but public.
Yeah, and then he goes out and kills someone else. You have turned righteous judgments into garbage. The fruit of the righteous into hemlock. Hemlock is a poison. Mm-hmm. So, there's a righteous man preaching the gospel, you say all sorts of bad things about him and look for every reason to tear him down. God forbid the preacher be an ordinary man on one day. Oh, he's a preacher. How could he do? I seen him drinking beer. Well, yeah. God said you never could. Didn't ever say you couldn't do that. He said you're a fool to be a drunk. But, you know, there's 10 guys sitting there drinking beer, and one of them happens to be a preacher. Oh, that's the one they talk about. Let's poison his reputation. Because everyone knows preachers not allowed to drink beer. Yeah, not even allowed to go shirtless at the beach. On their best behavior all the time. Well, they're human. And they're not. But they have to try to be. I just don't care anymore. You know, I'm going to follow God's word. I don't care what my neighbor says. Yep. Ye which rejoice in the thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? We have made ourselves rich and great. America, that's the theme nowadays. The greatest country in the world. The greatest nation, and I'm not taking anything from it. God made this Christian nation for two reasons. To preach the gospel to the world of Jesus Christ and to protect Israel in a last day's battle. It's right here in black and white. Oh, America's not in that book. Nobody on TV said it was. Yes, it's in here in multiple places. Why wouldn't it be? We are a last day's great power. Would be almost impossible for God to spell out the happenings of the last days and not include a superpower of the time. It's here, and Daniel nails it down. But behold, I will raise up against you, O a nation, a house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts. They shall afflict you from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of the wilderness. Oh, it's been a long one here today in the book of Amos. I was hoping to get to the end, but there's more preaching than reading. Basically, take away from the book of Amos. God made you. He created you. You are his greatest creation. And he expects obedience. The only sin listed in this Bible is disobedience to God. By any other name is disobedience to God. How easy is it? And I say that thinking in my head at the same time, it's not easy. But how easy is the premise of obedience? Mm-hmm. Very, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, when I was, before I became a teenager, obedience was much easier. I thought, you know, if I want to do this, I do this. If I want to do that, I want to do that. And then hormones came. And obedience was not as easy as it used to be. And then the cares of life and economy and family, all of that came. And obedience was never as it was as a child. That's why God said you must be like a child to enter into my kingdom. And that doesn't mean ignorant. That means obedient. Mm-hmm. Children are obedient. Take away from Amos, God made you. How little is it to ask that I made you? Just obey me. And if you do, I have great rewards for you. We'll catch you next time on WBFF 97.7 on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.